This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Dr. Atkins' New Diet Revolution by Robert C. Atkins, M.D. Read by Eric Conger.
The advice offered in this recording, although based on the author's experience with many thousands of patients, is not intended to be a substitute for the advice and counsel of your personal physician. If you are currently taking diuretics, insulin, or oral diabetes medications, consult your physician before starting Atkins. You will need to reduce and then closely monitor your dosage as you lower your blood sugar level. People with severe kidney disease should not do Atkins. The weight loss phases of the Atkins nutritional approach are not appropriate for pregnant women and nursing mothers.
Lose weight. Increase energy. Look great. This audio recording will show you how it's done. Not only that, it will show you how to change your life once and for all. You're listening to an audio recording based upon a book that has sold more than 10 million copies since 1992. Probably 2 to 3 times that number of people have followed its teachings. Most of you will have heard people say it's the most effective weight loss plan they've tried. It is. If you're like many people, you've been through the weight loss wars. Name it, and you've probably tried it. Whether it's a low-fat diet, a food-combining diet, the grapefruit diet, liquid fasts, and other fad diets, and on and on. You've learned how to count calories, but ultimately with no success. Even if you lost weight, you were often hungry and always felt deprived. Then, when you went back to your old way of eating, those pounds crept back, often joined by a few more. If this scenario sounds all too familiar, I have a solution that will help end the game of yo-yo dieting once and for all. Instead, I'll help you adopt a permanent way of eating that lets you lose weight without counting calories, makes you feel and look better, naturally re-energizes you, keeps lost pounds off forever with a new lifetime nutritional approach that includes rich, delicious foods. But in addition to weight loss, there is an even more important benefit. The nutritional approach you'll learn about here is also a revolutionary method for living a long, healthy life. I want my listeners to say, "I knew I'd lose weight, but I never realized I would feel so much healthier." The typical modern American diet, or as I sometimes call it, the high sugar horrors, makes you fat. In the short term, it's also a sure road to daily misery, making you irritable and tired during the day and sleepless at night. In the long term, it leads grimly on toward heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, and a host of other catastrophes. What I'm going to show you is not just a way to lose weight, but a way to eat for the rest of your life so you can be slim and healthy and stay that way. For too many people, the word diet implies not an approach to eating for a lifetime, but a 2 months on, 10 months off weight loss game that they play with themselves, year after year. That is not what this recording is about. I believe this so strongly that from now on I'll speak not of the Atkins diet, but of the Atkins nutritional approach, or doing Atkins, or even just Atkins. It's a shorthand that others have been using, so I'm going to start using it too. The Atkins nutritional approach will make you healthy because it's different from the typical American way of eating. Simply put, you avoid all the negative consequences of too much insulin release in your body, which can be attributed to too much carbohydrate intake. Would you like to see what I mean? Well, since they say one picture is worth 1,000 words, how about two? In the first picture, I'm standing behind a huge table heaped with food. My expression is a mixture of pride and anticipation. And no wonder. There are mounds of seeds and nuts, platters of fish, a lobster in drawn butter, well-seasoned fish, turkey, and duck, and certainly a juicy steak. You'll spy an omelet that would do any breakfast table proud. There's no lack of variety here. I see vegetables in abundance, fresh green salads drenched in healthy olive oil-based dressing overflowing their bowls. And peeking out through the foliage, blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries topped with whipped cream. There's a variety of cheeses. And since this is a picture of the food you'll be eating after you've lost your extra pounds and have reached the lifetime maintenance phase of Atkins, you will also notice a glass of wine, pan-fried sweet potatoes, a platter of melon, and slices of peaches and plums. Finally, developments in creating controlled carbohydrate substitute ingredients make it possible to also place a pleasing array of controlled carb bread, cheesecake, ice cream, and cookies on the groaning table. It's a mouth-watering spread, and I'm hovering over it with a hungry eye. To my mind, the food I've just envisioned is quite luxurious. If you believe that weight loss requires self-deprivation, I'm going to insist on teaching you otherwise. I equate healthy eating with gastronomic pleasure, and soon you will too. My second picture is of you. I'm very hopeful that it resembles the future you. The you in this picture I'm conjuring up is finally the weight you've always had as your goal, or fairly close. You feel great, full of energy. Your skin is glowing with health. If you've been exercising, your toned muscles show it. The you in this picture isn't worried about weight loss anymore. You no longer need to spend your time planning the stages of a new diet, constantly concerned about your eating, feeling guilty when you break promises you've made to yourself. After all, you've found a nutritional approach that will last you for a healthy and vigorous lifetime, and it's become so natural you hardly have to think about it anymore. It's second nature. This is an obvious win-win situation. It offers you the pleasure of eating and the promise of being healthier than before. The major reason for turning it down would be skepticism. How could anything be so perfect, you might ask. If that's it, here's my answer. Listen to this recording. When it's all boiled down, what I'm going to show you in New Diet Revolution is how to eat what's in the first picture and look just like the second. Delicious eating and lifetime health. Not a bad bargain. I don't make such promises lightly, and if I have to boast to get your attention, then here goes. Atkins is the most successful weight loss and weight maintenance program of the last quarter of the 20th century. The fact is, by methods you're about to learn, it works an astonishing proportion of the time for the vast majority of men and women. Atkins works because it targets our stored body fat. The fat is not there just to make us overweight, but is our body's backup system for fuel to generate energy. If we take it out of the backup position and convert our body to using it as a primary fuel source, the result is an extremely efficient weight loss and weight maintenance program. This switch occurs when only an insignificant amount of carbohydrates, our body's primary fuel, is available. And it's an easy switch to control, because very little glycogen, made from carbohydrate, is stored in our bodies. If we eat fewer carbs, we almost immediately trip the switch. The Atkins nutritional approach can positively impact the lives of people facing the risk factors associated with diabetes, heart disease, and hypertension. It can also alleviate gastrointestinal problems and certain allergies, chronic pain, and immune system weaknesses. In my clinical practice, we treat individuals with optimized diets and phytonutrients. Only a small percentage of patients come to us with weight problems alone. Usually, nutritional solutions make the difference that medication alone cannot accomplish. There is a close relationship between the first boast and the second. Making proper nutritional choices is the largest single component of retaining or restoring good health. My goal is to make you become a healthy and happy person and to show you how to stay that way. I will certainly also show you how to lose weight and keep it off forever. Have you bought into the idea that to lose weight and feel good, you have to adopt a low-fat diet? If so, the principles and approach I'm about to outline for you might just seem counterintuitive. They certainly do to those who criticize them. But in the 10 years since my book was first published, New scientific research has been conducted and published that shows that a controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach is better for you and for your body than a low-fat, high-carbohydrate nutritional approach. But let's cut to the chase. By following the Atkins nutritional approach for a lifetime, you will achieve four things. One, you will lose weight. It's hard not to. Both men and women who follow the Atkins approach to weight loss readily take off pounds and inches. Two, you will maintain your weight loss. This is where the Atkins nutritional approach leaves most other diets in the dust. Almost every experienced dieter has gone on a diet, worked hard, lost a lot of pounds, and gained them all back in a few months or perhaps a year. This is usually due to the expected consequences of low-fat, low-calorie diets. Hunger. Although many people can tolerate hunger for a while, very few can tolerate it for a lifetime. The Atkins program refuses to accept hunger as a way of life. The plan includes foods that have enough fat and protein, so hunger is not the huge issue it is on other weight loss plans. But it still allows dieters to maintain a healthy weight for a lifetime. 3. You will achieve good health. The change is amazing. Doing Atkins, you meet your nutritional needs by eating delicious, healthy, filling foods and avoiding the sugar and carbs that junk food is loaded with. As a result, you become less tired and more energetic, not merely because of the weight loss, but because the physical consequences of a truly dysfunctional blood sugar and insulin metabolism are reversed. Doing Atkins, people start feeling good even before they reach their goal weight. Once they abandon the catastrophic American diet of refined carbohydrates for whole, unrefined food, they start to live again. It's one of the most rewarding experiences I've had the privilege of witnessing with thousands of my patients. 4. You will lay the permanent groundwork for disease prevention. You will change your life, which, believe it or not, is even more important than looking good on the beach next summer. By following an individualized, controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach that results in lower insulin production, people at high risk for chronic illnesses such as cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and diabetes will see a marked improvement. The U.S. is the fattest nation in the world. More than 60% of Americans are overweight or obese. Yet 30 years ago, it was less than 40%. Are Americans exceptionally weak-willed? Or could it be that we've developed an extraordinary collective compulsion to become thicker from front to back and wider from side to side than the rest of humanity? Why are we in the midst of an obesity epidemic? The obvious answer is that Americans don't eat the types of foods that are consistent with maintaining a normal, healthy metabolism. Mankind is not geared to handle an abundance of refined carbohydrates. Losing weight is not a matter of counting calories. It is a matter of eating food your body is able to handle. Let me place a few facts on the table, all of which we will explore throughout the remainder of this recording. Most obesity exists when the body's metabolism, the process by which it turns food into fuel, isn't functioning correctly. The more overweight a person is, the more certain is the presence of metabolic disturbance. The basis of the metabolic disturbance in obesity doesn't have to do with the fat you eat. It has to do with eating too many carbohydrates, which leads to metabolic problems such as insulin resistance and hyperinsulinism. And these metabolic problems are directly related to your general health picture and your likelihood of being victimized by killers such as diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Moreover, high insulin levels have been associated with a higher incidence of diabetes. Since type 2 diabetics also have high insulin levels, the two epidemics, obesity and diabetes, can quite properly be considered a single epidemic. The metabolic effect resulting from excess insulin production can be circumvented by controlling carbohydrates. When you control your intake of refined carbohydrates, you avoid the foods that cause you to be fat. This metabolic correction is so striking that some of you will be able to lose weight eating a higher number of calories than you've been eating on diets top-heavy in carbohydrates. Diets high in carbohydrates are precisely what most overweight people don't need and can't become permanently slim on. Low-fat diets are, by their very nature, almost always high-carbohydrate diets, and bring on the very problems that they were intended to protect us from. Our epidemics of diabetes, heart disease, and high blood pressure are very largely the results of our overconsumption of refined carbohydrates and its connection to hyperinsulinism. The Atkins nutritional approach can and has corrected these serious risk factors associated with obesity. There has been sufficient evidence to make these assertions for more than 30 years now. But the heavy hand of government and such prominent organizations as the United States Department of Agriculture blanketed the nation with messages about low-fat dieting from the 1970s to the present. In fact, U.S. government statistics for this time period clearly demonstrate that along with the dramatic decrease in dietary fat intake from 40% to 33% of our caloric intake, there was also a dramatic increase in the intake of refined carbohydrates, not only sugar, but white flour. There is no doubt in my mind that this increase in refined carbohydrates has been spurred by the media attention given to the food guide pyramid created by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which made 6 to 11 daily servings of these wheat derivatives the basis of the pyramid. I believe that the food guide pyramid's recommendations have directly contributed to the twin epidemics of obesity and diabetes we now face in this country. There are many examples in history of things we thought were true that we eventually realized were wrong. Remember, we were once sure the earth was flat. But we learn, make progress, and can correct our missteps. Only during the last few years has a significant percentage of Americans begun to question what we've been taught about how to eat. And in just the last year or two, the news media has finally begun reporting the range of scientific studies showing that low-fat, high-carbohydrate diets lead to high levels of insulin and to the number one risk factor for heart disease, high triglycerides. These studies also reveal that controlled carbohydrate diets reverse these problems in a very large percentage of the population. If you've been overweight for very long, it's almost certain you have a blood sugar or a metabolic disorder. This means that refined carbohydrates, which include sugars, white flour products, and junk foods that are such a whopping proportion of the American diet, are slow poison to you. Those foods are bad for your health, bad for your energy level, bad for your mental state, bad for your figure, bad for your career prospects, bad for your sex life, bad for your digestion, bad for your blood chemistry, bad for your heart. What I'm saying is that they're bad. I believe that most of the overweight people in the world are carbohydrate sensitive. Often they're true carbohydrate addicts. They need a metabolic controlled carbohydrate solution, not a low-fat one. Today there is an ever-increasing number of medical practitioners who recognize the health benefits of controlled carbohydrate nutrition. But I am not satisfied, and neither should you be, with those practitioners who fail to see that the truly deadly component of American eating is the junk food culture in which we're all brought up. All this discussion about insulin levels, blood sugar, and metabolism may seem complicated to you right now. Later in this recording, I'll tell you everything you need to know. You'll begin to understand why the Atkins nutritional approach produces healthy weight loss. Before we go there, though, let me review what you will gain by listening to this entire recording. On most diets, you'll be hungry a fair percentage of the time. This program includes foods that leave you feeling much more full and satisfied. On most diets, you'll be counting calories. When you do Atkins, there's no need for that. On most diets, you'll never stop eating addictive high-carbohydrate foods. When you do Atkins, you'll quickly learn how to overcome your addictions. On most diets, you won't learn how to make a gradual transition to a lifetime maintenance plan. After listening to this recording, you'll learn how to develop a healthy way to eat that will feel comfortable and natural enough to adopt for good. You know what I'm going to remind you of next. The Atkins nutritional approach is not a diet. In the limiting sense of a weight loss program that you go on and off, It doesn't deserve to be called a diet at all. It's a way of eating for the rest of your healthy life. There are a few principles I need you to understand in order to put Atkins into action. Let's start with a couple of definitions. First, a calorie is simply a unit of energy, precisely the amount of heat needed to raise 1 gram of water 1 degree Celsius at sea level. Second, metabolism is the sum of the physical and chemical processes by which food is transformed into energy. Now let's move on to some concepts and misconceptions. You may assume that excess calories cause weight gain. It is true that gaining weight results from taking in more calories than you expend. But excess calories certainly cause you to pile on the pounds. And this is a gigantic but. Only when you are eating a lot of carbohydrate along with fat. So it's time to abandon the assumption that the only way to lose weight is to strictly control your intake of calories. Many people think that only one thing matters, how many calories you take in and use up. It's not that simple. When you follow a controlled carbohydrate approach, you get what I call a metabolic advantage. When you control carbohydrate consumption sufficiently, your body will switch from burning glucose derived from carbohydrate to burning primarily fat for energy. This means you could eat, say, 2,000 calories and still begin losing pounds and inches. In contrast, if you were consuming 2,000 calories on a low-fat diet, you might not lose weight and you might actually gain weight. The metabolic advantage is that burning fat takes more energy, so you expend more calories. And if you eat fewer calories, as many Atkins people do because their appetite is usually diminished, you'll likely lose weight even faster. So it's not that calories don't count. It's just that you will burn more of them with less hunger when your body is operating on a fat-based metabolism. When I published the first edition of my book 10 years ago, that claim was quite controversial. Today, it is galloping into acceptance among scientists who study the human metabolism. Here are some reasons why doing Atkins has special advantages. As I've just said, it mobilizes more fat for use as energy than any diet you have ever encountered. This incredible advantage has been researched and validated. The controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach is not one of deprivation. Sheer hunger is the main reason for the failure of most weight loss efforts. A lifetime eating plan needs to be palatable, pleasant, and filling. You will have to abandon sugar and other refined carbohydrates such as white flour. But most people find that once they shake off the sugar addiction, they feel no strong desire to go back to it. Eating Atkins style is a food lover's dream come true, luxurious, healthy, and varied. The Atkins nutritional approach is actually a continuum of 4 phases that transition seamlessly from one to the next. Phase 1, known as induction, crashes you through most weight loss barriers and will generally introduce even the most metabolically resistant person to weight reduction. Phase 2, ongoing weight loss, OWL, will carry you smoothly toward your goal. Phase 3, pre-maintenance, eases you toward adopting permanently a new, healthier way of eating that, with a modest degree of diligence on your part, will allow you to stay slim forever. Phase 4, lifetime maintenance, is the game plan that will keep those banished pounds at bay for the rest of your days. Let me state one crucial fact that you should always keep in mind. For people who comply with all 4 phases of Atkins, failure to maintain weight loss is very rare. Not only does Atkins not deprive you of the pleasure of eating, it energizes you and makes you feel just plain good. And those 2 things are definitely factors in keeping the weight off, because few people are willing to go back to feeling lousy once they've experienced the joys of feeling good. As a matter of fact, for about half the patients I see, the most compelling reason they continue to do Atkins is that they feel noticeably worse if they stop the program. Plus, when you're full of energy, you're more inclined to exercise, enhancing weight loss and replacing fat tissue with muscle, which will also help you cut inches from your measurements. People will see the change in you, enhancing your sense of accomplishment and self-respect. What's wrong with carbohydrates? If you mean what's wrong with a spear of broccoli or a bunch of spinach, the answer is nothing. They're magnificent foods. When I speak negatively of carbohydrates, I'm referring to the unhealthy ones, those lurking in the sugar bowl and the bin of white flour, along with milk, white rice, and processed and refined foods of all kinds. I also must include concentrates, such as fruit juices. During the weight loss phase of Atkins, even your intake of potentially healthy carbohydrates, such as fruits and whole grains, must be controlled. Once you've bid adieu to your extra pounds, you can return to fruits and some starches to the degree that they won't upset your metabolism and reactivate the cravings that result in weight gain. But the refined and processed foods I've just mentioned simply aren't good for you ever. Am I advocating a high-fat diet? Not in the long run. As you increase the percentage of carbohydrates while advancing through the different phases of Atkins, the percentage and actual amount of fat you consume will diminish. However, as long as you are at the lower end of carbohydrate consumption, higher fat consumption poses no threat to your health. Let me give you a short history lesson. Eating meat, fish, and fowl isn't a health hardship. It's what humans have eaten for millions of years. People ate much the same way in the 19th century. They were beef and pork eaters, and their use of butter and eggs was unrestricted. In fact, the two most widely consumed fats of all were lard and beef tallow. In the crucial 60-year time span between 1910 and 1970, when coronary heart disease escalated from a yet-to-be-recognized problem to the killer of more than half the population, this is what happened to America's diet. The intake of animal fat and butter actually dropped a little, while the intake of cholesterol was not changed. Meanwhile, the intake of refined carbohydrates, mainly sugar, corn syrup, and white flour, escalated by 60%. To understand how the human diet in most of the world's developed countries has changed so drastically in the last century, let's take a short historical detour. Even before the onset of agriculture, the human animal was able, for millions of years, to remain strong and healthy in conditions of often savage deprivation by eating the fish and animals that scampered and swam around him, and the fruits and vegetables and berries that grew nearby. Without medicine, without expertise, without insulated housing or reliable heating, our species nonetheless survived. The fact that the dietary side of our primitive lifestyle was enormously healthy undoubtedly helped us. So what has caused the avalanche of degenerative diseases that now threaten the health of our species? 200 years ago, the average person ate less than 10 pounds of sugar a year, and white flour was used much less commonly. About 110 years ago, the lid blew off the sugar canister. In the 1890s, the craze for cola beverages swept the nation, which means that when we were thirsty and craved water, we got sugar as well. To make matters worse, the mills that could refine wheat into white, nutritionally barren flour were developed in the same decade. That was bad enough, but what's worse, once that flour met up with sweetness and saltiness, the junk food industry was off and running. The net result was that sugar intake, which had averaged 12 pounds a year per person in 1828, was nearly 10 times that in 1928. Remember, too, that if you don't take your sugar straight, you'll find it already sprinkled into 1,000 different foods and beverages before they come to your table. There are marked similarities in the diet eaten in all the world's developed countries, so for now, I'll just mention some statistics for the United States. Once you understand what healthy eating can be like, you'll find them as bizarre and shocking as I do. The latest Department of Agriculture statistics show that the average American consumed 124 pounds of caloric sweeteners, principally refined sugar and high fructose corn syrup, in 1975. By 1999, it had risen to 158 pounds. This translates into an average of nearly 750 calories from sugar a day, which means, by conservative reckoning, over one-third of all the calories an adult puts into his or her body each day comes from nutritionally empty and metabolically harmful caloric sweeteners. Those figures represent 190 grams of sugar and corn syrup a day. Compare that with the 300 grams of carbohydrate the government expects us to consume each day. And we see that sugar now comprises over 60% of the carbohydrate total. Sugar has no nutritional value and is directly harmful to your health. Despite vociferous attempts to defend it, there are studies that clearly show how harmful, and even deadly in the case of diabetics, its effects can be. I won't go into hyperinsulinism now, but I'll discuss it later. For now, simply remember this. Diets high in sugar and other refined carbohydrates radically increase the body's production of insulin, and insulin is the best single index of adiposity. That final word is medical jargon for fat. Sugar, you see, activates certain metabolic processes that are both harmful to your health and folly for your waistline. Sugar is a metabolic poison. You could, of course, ignore this fact and attempt to control your weight by calorie counting and deprivation. That is, you could direct yourself to the quantity instead of the quality of your diet. That's pretty much what conventional diets advise. However, the likelihood that you'll permanently lose weight by controlling your caloric intake is almost nil. The whole problem of sugar was compounded by the low-fat messages we were wrongly bombarded with during the 1980s and 1990s. To make a low-fat product taste good, manufacturers add lots of sugar. Now, in the United States, the aisles in the supermarket are crammed with low-fat or diet cookies and crackers, ice cream, frozen cakes and pies, soft drinks, and white bread filled with sugar. The United States has low-fatted and dieted itself to a raging epidemic of obesity and diabetes. This is not real food. It's invented, fake food. It's filled with sugar and highly refined carbohydrates and with chemically altered trans fats. They're listed as hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oil on food labels, not to mention plenty of other chemical additives. For thousands of years, human beings were in luck. None of this food existed. Now we're stuck with it. Because it's incredibly profitable, it's also widely distributed. But there isn't a person on this planet who should be eating it. What are we to do? If you want to be slim and vigorous, you can't eat as I've described. But you can eat the natural, healthy, unrefined animal and vegetable foods that people ate and grew robust on in centuries past. Nor do you have to eat like a rabbit. You can eat like a human being. You can enjoy fish, lamb, steak and lobster, nuts and berries, cheese, eggs and butter, along with a wonderful variety of salad greens and other vegetables. In fact, in the 10 years since the first edition of this book was published, one of my personal wishes has been granted. Today, a person choosing to follow a controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach has almost as many packaged and prepared food options as people who are, unwittingly, following a low-fat diet. Visit your local natural food store, drug store, supermarket, or even mass market store, and you'll see the wide variety of food products available to someone who understands the benefits of controlled carbohydrate nutrition. Advances in scientific understanding have paved the way for alternatives to foods that are high in carbohydrates. Foods such as pasta, bread, muffins, cakes, candy, and even ice cream, not to mention the wide variety of energy bars and ready-to-drink shakes. On all four faces of Atkins, you select from an increasingly liberal array of foods that are sources of the healthy carbohydrates. Your overall intake of them also gradually increases. Once you've reached your goal weight, you can eat larger helpings of healthy carbohydrate foods, as long as you stay below the critical carbohydrate level for maintenance, CCLM, which will be explained later on in this recording. In simple terms, this means knowing and adhering to a threshold of carbohydrate intake that allows you to neither gain nor lose weight, It's worth mentioning that each person has an individual threshold, depending upon age, level of physical activity, and other factors. Common sense dictates that when a lot of people try the same answer to the same problem, and most of them fail, there's something wrong with their solution. You may have tried a low-fat diet. I'm sure you've seen other people try one. After a promising start, they often end up as failures. Only people with remarkable self-discipline, or those who really don't get pleasure from eating, are likely to succeed on low-fat diets. Atkins represents a completely different way. When you do Atkins, you eliminate virtually all refined sugar and flour and processed foods. Instead, you're in an alliance with Mother Nature, who really did provide for us very well. You bought this recording to lose weight, and I'm going to have to make you healthier too. When doing Atkins, you couldn't separate those results, even if you wanted to. Whether you're an old hand at the weight loss game, or have, at the very least, been on a diet before, the following scenario may sound all too familiar. Determined to succeed, you vowed to go about slimming down the right way. You stopped eating red meat, cooked egg white only omelets with no shortening in a Teflon pan, removed the skin from chicken, ate your baked potato without butter or sour cream, and consumed lots of pasta. Frozen yogurt, fruit, and sherbet served as dessert. Your breakfast consisted of oatmeal and skim milk, or else granola and a banana. A typical lunch was white meat turkey on a roll and a generous salad. Hold the dressing. And you stuck with your low-fat regimen. You knew it was the right diet because your friends and family congratulated you on your healthy habits. Yet somehow it never felt quite right for you. Nor did it ever work the way you thought it would. You found that you weren't quite satisfied eating this way. You were often hungry and low in energy. And worst of all, permanent significant weight loss proved elusive. You never actually achieved the goals that motivated you to go on a diet in the first place. Here's the good news. Most of you will now find that your frustrations are about to end. I have helped tens of thousands of people who have come to me needing to lose weight and improve their health. And I promise I will help you too. Diets come and go, but what people hope to get from them remains fairly constant. What would you like from a weight loss program? Let your fancy run free. Would you like to be freed from hunger much of the day? Eat until you're pleasantly satisfied and full? Enjoy food so rich that you've never seen them on any other diet? Never have to count calories again? Feel better than you have in years? Do you believe that a man can go from gaining a half pound a week to losing 3.9 pounds a week without significantly altering the number of calories he consumes? Let me introduce you to Harry Kronberg. I want you to pay close attention to his story and try not to give way to disbelief, because these results are real. Harry Kronberg, the 39-year-old manager of a lumber yard, came to me with a heart arrhythmia and a desperate weight problem. He had been chubby even as a child, but now things were out of hand. A few years before, he had gone to a low-fat diet center and had managed to drop from 245 to 185 pounds. Sounds good. But before long, Harry had gained it all back with an added dividend of another 35 pounds. That's right. When Harry came to see me, he tipped the scales at 280 on a 5'6.5" frame. In the previous 35 months, eating a relatively starchy, low-fat diet of approximately 2,100 calories a day, he had gained 70 pounds, exactly 2 pounds a month. Harry started Atkins, radically restricting his intake of carbohydrates while eating freely of meat, fish, fowl, and eggs. Harry was told he could eat as much as he needed to feel satisfied. The calorie count was strikingly similar to what he had been eating on his previous diet. 3 months into his new regimen, he had lost 50.5 pounds, almost 4 pounds a week, and then continued to lose at a steady 3 pounds weekly. His heart symptoms vanished. His total cholesterol level dropped from a mid-range of 207 to a dramatically lower 134, and his triglycerides went from 134 to 31. I'm going to talk to you about the hormone whose name you've heard many times, insulin. Some of the content of this portion of the recording is fairly complex, but I think you ought to listen to it carefully. For many of you, the answers to your battle with the bulge and concerns about long-term health issues are here. Almost everyone knows that insulin is given to people with a certain kind of diabetes to help control their blood sugar levels when their own supplies become depleted or insufficient. Insulin is one of the most powerful and efficient substances that the body uses to control the use, distribution, and storage of energy. At its most basic, insulin is the control hormone for glucose, a basic form of sugar. So listen up. Your body is an energy machine, never resting, always metabolically active, and it powers its operations mainly through the use of glucose in the blood, which is why glucose is interchangeably called blood sugar. The body must maintain a certain level of glucose in the blood at all times. So when there is no carbohydrate food source to make glucose, the liver will actually convert protein to glucose. Remarkably, even on a prolonged total fast, a healthy body can maintain its glucose level within a rather narrow normal range. As a general rule, of course, the body obtains its principal supply of fuel from food. What happens to a meal? You sit down at the table and consume a three-course dinner. Somewhere between chewing and excreting, your body absorbs certain substances from your food, mostly across the surface of your small intestine. From the carbohydrate you eat, your body will absorb sugars, all of which are, or quickly and easily become, glucose. From fat, it absorbs glycerol and fatty acids. And from protein, it absorbs amino acids, the building blocks of all cells. Obviously, if you eat a lot of carbohydrate, you'll end up with a lot of glucose in your blood. Sounds good, doesn't it? All that energy coursing through your system. Eat sugar, starches, and fruits, and you're going to get those blood sugar levels up fast, aren't you? If you love candy bars, perhaps you're saying, "That's great. The more I eat, the more energy I'll have." Alas, a bad mistake. You see, the human body evolved, and primitive humans thrived as hunter-gatherers who subsisted primarily on meat, fish, vegetables, fruit, whole grains and seeds, and nuts. Candy bars were few and far between. The human body is used to dealing with unrefined foods as they occur in nature. Consequently, your body's capacity to deal with an excess of processed foods is pretty poor, which is why our 21st century way of eating so often gets us into trouble. If you don't understand this yet, let's look at what insulin and the other energy-controlling hormones do when you eat. Consuming carbohydrates impacts your blood sugar levels. The amount of carbs, and the type, will determine how your blood sugar responds. For example, a food full of refined sugar and white flour, such as a jelly donut, will raise blood sugar much more dramatically than does a salad. To be useful to your body, blood sugar has to be transported to your cells. Think of insulin as the barge that transports glucose from your blood to your cells. Once it reaches the cells, three things can happen to that glucose. It can be mobilized for immediate energy. It can be converted into glycogen for later use as a source of energy, or it can be stored as fat. Let's delve in a little deeper. Insulin is manufactured in a part of your pancreas. As the sugar level in your blood goes up, the pancreas releases insulin to move the sugar out of the blood. It then transports the blood sugar to your body's cells for their energy needs. But, as we previously mentioned, when these needs are met, the liver converts excess glucose into glycogen, which is stored in the liver and muscles, where it is readily available for energy use. Once all the glycogen storage areas are filled, the body has to do something with the excess glucose. And here is the big revelation. The liver converts the remaining glucose to fat, which becomes the storage tanks of fat on your belly, thighs, buttocks, and elsewhere. That's why insulin is called the fat-producing hormone. Since fat is much more efficient and has more capacity to store energy than glucose, we can store a lot more fat in our bodies than glucose. That, my friends, results in obesity. And by the way, the main chemical constituent of all this fat is triglyceride, the very same triglyceride that in your blood can be a risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Insulin is a pretty efficient worker. If it were not, your cells could not get enough glucose, their basic fuel, and blood glucose levels would rise while the cell searched for other fuels. First, for protein in your muscles and organs, and then for fat in your fat stores. That's why people with poorly controlled insulin-deficient diabetes can lose weight when no insulin is present. And that's why a person on a low-calorie diet may lose lean body mass. This shouldn't happen on Atkins, where sufficient calories and protein are consumed to meet the body's energy needs. On the other hand, excessive carbohydrate intake results in high amounts of blood sugar and may, in turn, overstimulate insulin production. When this happens, it causes a drop in blood sugar, robbing the body of energy for the cells. The result of the process is destabilized blood sugar levels, quite possibly causing fatigue, brain fog, shakiness, and headaches. The body attempts to adjust by liberating counter-regulatory hormones, such as adrenaline, to raise the glucose level. But another stiff dose of insulin can overpower the effects of those hormones. Fortunately for most of us, this glucose balancing act takes place automatically, and our blood sugar stays in a fairly narrow, normal range. But for some, the bodily insult of massive insulin release to deal with massive blood glucose levels has been going on for years, causing the glucose-regulating mechanism in the body to break down, initiating unstable blood sugar, and eventually diabetes. Hyperinsulinism is the condition that results from too much insulin being produced by your body. It's easy to see how this might happen when you realize that there's a relationship between the kinds of foods you eat and the amount of insulin in your bloodstream. Foods rich in carbohydrates, especially sugar, honey, milk, and fruit, which contain simple sugars, and refined carbohydrates such as flour, white rice, and potato starch, are readily absorbed through the stomach, so they speedily convert to glucose. When these foods are eaten in excess, they require a lot of insulin for transport. Foods made of protein and fat, on the other hand, require little or no insulin. Protein in excess converts to glucose in the liver and requires some insulin to transport it to the cells. Fat requires essentially none. And what happens when there is too much insulin? As an overweight person becomes heavier, insulin's effectiveness may decline. The cells become desensitized to the action of insulin, so it can no longer effectively transport glucose to them. This is known in medical circles as insulin resistance, which quickly leads to hyperinsulinism. Numerous studies have shown that insulin resistance is more prevalent among the obese, although even some individuals who appear slim and healthy may actually be insulin resistant. What appears to happen is that the insulin receptors on the surfaces of the body's cells are blocked, which in turn prevents glucose from reaching the cells for energy use. That's one reason overweight individuals may be tired much of the time. When insulin is ineffective in taking glucose into the cells, the liver converts more and more glucose to stored fat. Your body is, in fact, becoming a fat-producing machine instead of an efficient energy-producing machine. Your body's hormonal system is now in desperate straits. At this point, insulin is being secreted more and more frequently to deal with high blood sugar levels, and it is doing its job less and less effectively, which makes you crave sweets and carbs, which compounds the problem in a vicious cycle. In time, even the insulin receptors that convert glucose to fat start getting worn out, forecasting diabetes. Ah, but you came to this book for weight loss. All right, let's make crystal clear the connection between high insulin levels and excess weight. I'm about to recount a horror story that might be headlined, Innocent Human is Turned Upon by Own Hormones. But we did it to ourselves, you know. Remember, no culture in world history has ever consumed even a fraction of the sugar we 21st century Westerners do. Perhaps you've been overweight for a long time. Once, there was a stage in the progress of your metabolic disease when you could lose weight pretty easily, even if you sharply cut your caloric intake. You'd gain the pounds back, but at least at the price of hunger, you could shed them again. Then, although your weight continued to yo-yo up and down, you began to notice that the yo-yo went up easily, but getting it to fall down again was harder and harder. Now, maybe you're past even that stage. You simply cannot drop pounds. If you are, insulin has really closed the trap. The pancreas, faced with your abuse of simple and refined carbohydrates, has become so efficient at secreting insulin that just a touch of blood sugar will release a flood. In response to high insulin levels, your body has become intent on storing fat by the process I've explained. Group A responders will recognize the role that excess insulin plays in preventing weight loss by giving you an ongoing sensation of hunger that can be satisfied only by constant overeating. Now that you've reached this understanding of the metabolic basis of being overweight, imagine going into your doctor's office after diligently eating a low-fat diet that was quite possibly high in sugar and carbs. And imagine being told, well, if you just had a little more willpower. Sad, isn't it? Willpower is not the issue. To lose weight, you're going to need the controlled carbohydrate nutritional approach offered by this recording. You will also need the other two legs of the Atkins triad, regular exercise and nutritional supplementation. I know I've produced a really heart-sinking analysis of how and why fat accumulates on your body. So what do you do now? You adjust the insulin spigot. And so far as weight loss goes, the answer lies in two entwined concepts, burning fat and controlling carbohydrates, which we will explore later in this recording. Once you've been heavy for some time, you're in a metabolic trap, a sort of high-walled box created in large part by high insulin levels. You may have already noticed that you're trapped. Certainly trying diet after diet and failing on all of them is depressing. I know from personal experience and from the comments of thousands of my patients just how tightly the lid of metabolic obesity seems to press down. Fortunately, there is a key to unlatch this box. A perfectly natural bodily process called lipolysis can lift up the lid and let hope shine in. The definition of lipolysis sounds like nirvana to a person longing to lose weight. It means the process of dissolving fat. Isn't that exactly why we're all gathered here today? Now I will tell you the secret to unlocking the latent power of lipolysis. When you burn fat, it breaks down into glycerol and other fatty acids. How does the process actually work? Are there any drawbacks? There are plenty of lay people and even physicians who think there must be. And burning one's fat off sounds like a faddish trick. These folks give a skeptical shrug and say, I'm sure people lose some weight with your approach, Dr. Atkins, but don't they gain it right back again? The interesting thing is that if they adhere to the four phases of my program, which includes finding their critical carbohydrate level for maintenance, CCLM, meaning the amount of carbohydrates they can consume and neither gain nor lose weight, not many do. The phase known as lifetime maintenance, though more indulgent, evolves naturally from the three weight loss phases, thereby gradually teaching Atkins followers a permanent way of eating that still moderates carbohydrate intake to the degree that is necessary for each individual. As for the weight loss phases of Atkins, they are simple and overwhelmingly effective. I don't see any reason why I should understate the facts. Lipolysis is one of life's charmed gifts. It's as delightful as sex and sunshine, and it has fewer drawbacks than either of them. In the earlier editions of my book, I used the word ketosis to describe this wonderful process. In fact, here is exactly what I said. The term ketosis, when it applies to the benign, diet-induced type we're talking about, is really a shortening of the term ketosis lipolysis, which is enough of a tongue twister that you can see why it is commonly referred to only by the name ketosis. Well, experience is a great teacher, and over the years I have learned that in my attempt to simplify things, I created confusion. Let me explain. The Atkins nutritional approach stimulates the process of lipolysis, a state I hope you are always in, burning your fat for energy. A secondary process of lipolysis is ketosis. Ketosis occurs when you are taking in a low level of carbohydrates from the food you eat, as you will during the induction phase of Atkins. Lipolysis results in the creation of ketones. That's ketosis, a perfectly normal and natural function of the body. In the minds of lay people, and even some ill-informed doctors, ketosis is often confused with diabetic ketoacidosis. The latter is the consequence of insulin-deficient subjects having out-of-control blood sugar levels, a condition that can occur as well in alcoholics and people in a state of extreme starvation. Ketosis and ketoacidosis may sound vaguely alike, but the two conditions are virtually polar opposites. They can always be distinguished from each other by the fact that the diabetic in ketoacidosis has been consuming excessive carbohydrates and has high blood sugar, in sharp contrast to the fortunate person doing Atkins. To avoid any further confusion, I will use the term lipolysis throughout this portion of the recording to describe the process of burning fat for energy. Many controlled carbohydrate regimens have been proposed over the years. They work with some degree of effectiveness for some people. However, many of them do not bring carbohydrate intake down to a level that will permit lipolysis. For people who are metabolically obese and have great difficulty losing, that is a grave weakness. Atkins, on the other hand, starts off at 20 grams of carbohydrates. Each individual then proceeds at his or her own rate, gradually adding back both the amount and the variety of carbohydrate foods. We'll get into the specifics of how you calculate grams of carbohydrate and which carbs you will and will not be eating later. For now, let me assure you that my state-of-the-art weight loss program is the safest, healthiest, most luxurious way to become and stay slim for the remainder of your life. How does lipolysis work? Lipolysis simply means that you're burning your fat stores and using them as the source of fuel they were meant to be. The byproducts of burning fat are ketones. When your body releases ketones, which it will do in your breath and your urine, it is chemical proof that you're consuming your own stored fat. Once more, for emphasis, when a person on a safe, controlled carbohydrate plan such as mine is releasing ketones, he or she is in the fat-dissolving state of lipolysis. This process is simply the most efficient path ever devised for getting you slim. And the more ketones you release, the more fat you have dissolved. Lipolysis is the biochemical method of weight loss, the alternative to using glucose for fuel, the very process that has made you heavy. Lipolysis can be your life raft, giving you both slimness and health, and distancing you from the obese person's perils of diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Most of all, of course, it is the key to achieving your goal, to use up the fat stored in your body. The phenomenon of lipolysis, or fat burning, being the major alternative fuel system, has been so well researched that it is simply not disputed in academic circles. It is scientific fact. I'd like to distinguish between lipolysis and glucosis. Many scientists are of the opinion that you need glucose for fuel. That statement is only partially true. Ketones provide the exception. They are derived from fat when lipolysis is occurring, and are the other source of fuel that energizes our cells and powers our brain and other vital organs. Ketones fuel the body in lipolysis, just as glucose fuels the body in glucosis, my term for a carbohydrate metabolism. Glucose and ketones are the only two fuels that come from food. Alcohol is a third fuel. I find that people understand the concept better when I tell them, if you're not in lipolysis, you're in glucosis. The two fuel sources are your body's alternative, completely parallel options for energy metabolism. Most obese people become so adept at releasing insulin that their blood is never really free of it, and they're never able to use up their fat stores. By primarily burning fat instead of carbohydrates, lipolysis breaks the cycle of excess insulin and resultant stored fat. So by following a fat-containing, controlled carbohydrate regimen, you bypass the process of converting large amounts of carbohydrate into glucose. When your carbohydrate intake drops low enough to induce fat burning, abnormal insulin levels return to normal, perhaps for the first time in years or decades. One of the most attractive features of Atkins is that lipolysis and the resulting production of ketones, if you have triggered the secondary process of ketosis, helps suppress your appetite. Frankly, it first attracted me because back in the 1960s, when I was a young doctor with an ever-increasing paunch, I wanted to slim down. But I knew very well that I couldn't stand being hungry for very long. I had too big an appetite and too little willpower. Two facts that haven't changed much. When I realized that the body could satisfy its hunger by burning its own fat as fuel, I thought I saw an escape hatch. After the first 48 hours, the body suppresses hunger and appetite diminishes. Another benefit of lipolysis and the resulting state of ketosis, if your carbohydrate level is low enough, is that it has certain metabolic similarities to fasting. But there is a significant difference from fasting. A prolonged fast can be dangerous, and has one severe metabolic disadvantage. The body burns not only fat for energy, it also burns protein. This means that it burns off some of the body's lean muscle tissue, which is clearly not desirable. Investigation has shown that on an eating plan where you are in lipolysis and the carbohydrate intake is low enough to result in ketosis, virtually no lean tissue is lost, only fatty tissue. And that's why, for extremely overweight individuals, it is possible to be in lipolysis and at the carbohydrate level that creates ketosis for 6 months to a year and confidently know that they will suffer no ill effects of any kind. These enlightened, and soon to be lightened, people are able to consume their own fat for energy and feel good while they're doing it. The beauty of lipolysis is that it bypasses the agony of low-calorie dieting. People who've been burdened with excess pounds for a long time or who've tried weight loss programs often find it very nearly impossible to drop many pounds unless they're in lipolysis. I've treated people who, even on 700 or 800 balanced calories a day, couldn't lose weight. That's less than half the normal caloric intake of an average woman. And yet these pounds finally peeled off when these folks began to do Atkins, even though their meal plans were comprised of foods totaling even more calories. When I make this claim, that you can lose more weight on a higher number of calories, I seem to be breaking the law, one of the hallowed laws,